Well, here we are. It's the last Sunday of Advent. We are now in this, at the end of the waiting period. I came across a fascinating little quotation from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who knew something about both. He said that being in Advent is a lot like being in prison, because you don't get out until somebody else opens the door from the outside. And he said, and the thing is that when you're waiting, all you can do is what's before you. You can't do anything else, which in a very real sense, I think, does talk about what's going on in Advent. We have intentionally limited ourselves in many ways. We still sing Christmas songs, which there are some people who have occasionally given me the gears about that one, but that's, it's just one of the things that we have chosen to do. But we have spent some time looking at these various Sundays and what they mean. And we're waiting to be let out into the next stage. We've gone through hope, peace, joy, and now love. So what is next? Well, in one sense, nothing is next. Because when we get to this stage, when we get to the Sunday of love, we're complete. We're not finished. We're not perfect. But we're complete. We're called in many places in Scripture, Old Testament and New, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and minds and our neighbors as ourselves. Okay, so how is this possible? Well, it's not, at least not just for us or for us only in our own strength. It's very easy for us to love God when everything's going well. But I suspect during these past, 9 months, interesting number of months for lots of reasons, in this pandemic, I suspect many of us, and I know I have had moments of thinking, what is God doing and why? It's a little bit harder to love God at that point. There have been times in this whole pandemic, which has just been the focus of so many things, it's been hard to love my neighbors. Not so much my physical neighbors who are, they're fine. They make a little noise late at night sometimes. But looking slightly broader to neighbors, it can be hard for me to love people who put a mask on to make their way past the "you must be wearing a mask" person at the door of a store, and then just take it off when they're inside, or wear it with their nose hanging out, which last time I checked, we still breathe in and out of, or have it hanging on one ear. It's hard for me to love these people. So how? We've gone through, as I said, these four Sundays. Talked about hope and peace and joy and love, and God tells us to love him, love our neighbors. So how? Well, first of all, let's remind ourselves that what we're being asked to do is something that is, in a very real sense, impossible. Not because we are essentially terrible human beings, but because we're fallen human beings, because we have our own concerns, we have our own worries, we have our own sense of what needs to be done. And what God wants us to do gets in the way of those things, and what people want us to do get in the way of them also. So how? Well, the key comes from our Luke passage, not the one we read together, but the one that Callie read for us. And it's down there in verse 37. And depending on the translation you read, you'll come across something about how what God wants will happen. And in the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." This isn't only for old people getting pregnant. That's not the only impossible thing that God can accomplish, although we have seen it. We see it in the Old Testament with Sarah. We see it in the New Testament with Elizabeth in her old age. We don't know how old Elizabeth was, but obviously old enough for everybody to just go, well, I guess they're just not going to have children. Maybe they're cursed by God. We don't know. We're not saying that kind of snarky remark that we're all capable of making at various times. But when I look at that, I see a much larger thing going on here. The angel Gabriel says to Mary that, you know, in relationship to this whole Elizabeth thing, that nothing is impossible with God. But I don't think it was recorded in Luke solely for Mary. It's also for us. Nothing is impossible with God, or nothing will be impossible with God. That's what opens the door for us to say that once we've figured out that love is the thing we are called to do, that love is the thing we are called to do, then that's where we butt up against what we can't do. And that's where we reach out to God, who says, I know you can't do that, but nothing's impossible with me. Because that's what God says to us here and in all kinds of places in Scripture. We get stories of miracles, of healing and feeding and all of these things, not just to remind us that God cares about our physical beings, but to remind us that God can do what God is going to do always. And that includes things like helping us love people we don't want to. And that includes God. It's hard for us, at least sometimes, to say out loud that we don't love God. But it was just a couple of days ago that I did the funeral for Lois McMillan, one of the sweetest people I have ever known. And if you watched the funeral online, or if you were one of the people who was able to be there, what you heard was people talking about what a wonderful, sweet woman she was. Lois was struggling towards the end with who she was and who people were, as happens to lots of us at the end of life. But even with that, the world is not as good today as it was when Lois was still in it. That makes it hard for me to love God. It just does. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but for me, it makes it kind of hard. And I come back to this little phrase, for nothing will be impossible with God. It's hard for me to love people who I project on them a lack of care for other people, because that's what I see, if I'm not careful, when I see people who don't wear masks. I don't see people who might have an issue where a mask makes it difficult for them to breathe, because there are people who can't wear masks. I understand that. But when I see someone without a mask, I don't see that. What I see is someone who doesn't care. Who doesn't care that my stepmother has lung issues. Who doesn't care that premature babies have lung issues. Who doesn't care. And that's not fair to them, because I don't know. It's hard for me to look at them and say, I don't know what's going on in their lives, but God loves them just as much as God loves me. And with God's help, I will love them too. But I can get there, but not on my own. We end Advent with love. We began Advent with hope. And we have peace and joy in the middle. And these are four wonderful things. But as I said, I think in the second Sunday of Advent, without hope, I'm not sure we would even look for peace. And we wouldn't believe joy is possible. And without hope, how could we love people? And love makes the others all make sense. We hope because we love people. We work towards peace because we love people. We appreciate the gift of joy because we know God loves us and we love God. They all work together. They become a bit of a braid. I suppose I could have braided all four of these together to make a perfect sermon illustration. Well, that seemed like a lot of work to ask Heather to do. We finish Advent with love. Because when we have figured out that what God calls us to do is to love God, to love our neighbors, and to love ourselves, because that's implied in the to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's it. We've got it all figured out. Everything else flows from that. And so as we move from our from this part of our service into Holy Communion, we're reminded again that love sometimes comes with a profound cost for us and obviously for Jesus. But love still makes these things work, and love still does the impossible. So when we look at our sermon title, After Love, what else is there? Well, nothing, really. What's after that is us doing the best we can, knowing we'll fail, knowing God loves us anyway, knowing that if we don't ask for help, we might not be able to do it the way we want to, but when we ask for help, it becomes possible, because for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen.